CJO 1690 AM, what a great news that was. In case you haven't figured it out, I'm not really in the studio, so I'm not really commenting on any stories in the news, just that the news happened. So there. This has been an interview wrap-up show. You heard interviews with Galactic Empire and with Atreyu. Now we have two more, because that's how this show runs. First off, a band which is out of Los Angeles. They are called Three Teeth, and they are doing their best impression of early 2000s industrial. So, of course, I love them and the things that they do. They're also doing tours with, like horror, which is great, because horror is like a mix-up of hip-hop and punk and even industrial-esque things and just general weirdos, which is fine. I mean, it's fine when weirdos get together. But I like it when they mix other genres together in things. I've not been a fan of that in some cases. But if you know what you're getting into, you know, then you can pretty much enjoy an entire night of just an iPod mix of music, which is nice and good. So I have an interview with Three Teeth, with the lead person in Three Teeth, who, you know, I'll let him intro himself, because I'm kind and benevolent like that. And then I'll play some Three Teeth music for you, you know, to split it up, make it nice for you. So here is part one of an interview I did at Heavy Montreal that I'm re-airing now, which was part of our live broadcast, with the lead singer Three Teeth. Keep it locked. This is Grade A Explosives, CJLO 1690 AM.
CJLO 1690 AM, we're here live broadcasting from Heavy Montreal because we are cool and like to do things like that. So, neener, I guess. That's what we're going with. we've been doing interviews all day. You just heard one with Gamma Ray, and now we have one with a member of the band Three Teeth. I'll let him intro himself in case he has, you know, some sort of pseudonym that all of the cool bands like to do. So, good sir.
I am Lex from the band Three Teeth. I'm the lead singer. I'm that guy with the mustache.
Okay. Now, I know a lot of times when bands come to me, they've already done a bunch of interviews. So what's one question you don't want to be asked or you're tired of answering? If I have it on this list, I'll strike it. You won't have to answer it.
I don't want to be asked what Three Teeth means.
Okay. That's a good standard one.
Okay.
Question.
Just because you can, it's a very Googleable answer, so it's like it's one of those things. Like, all right, you know.
It must be annoying though to come across like so many of those questions.
I don't truly mind, but I do like curious people, and for me, it's sort of it reeks of the lack of curiosity of my interviewer of just not having done the homework. So for me, it's like cool, like you know, half of the reason why my band exists is to weaponize curiosity. So I feel like if I'm being interviewed by someone who didn't do the little bit of homework of what Three Teeth means, then we've already missed the point of why we're doing this whole thing.
Fair enough. I get that. I try and make these not as not as stock as they could be, but
I appreciate that.
We get into a bit of stock, so let's jump a bit into stock.
I'm down to do stock. I just, that's like, if you ask me, again, I will answer it, but if you're like, what's that one thing, that would be it.
Well, Three Teeth, when I listen to you, I am immediately I immediately think of an old school kind of like industrial band. But I know there's a lot of industrial bands that I've interviewed that have told me, oh, we don't consider ourselves industrial. We don't like the label because it means something different to us.
Industrial is the $64 million question of like, what the fuck is industrial? It is an extremely amorphic concept that really becomes very hard to pin down. Obviously, you're going to have the sort of trad goth industrial people that will very much so tell you what industrial is.
Right.
But, you know, it becomes this sort of great debate of whether or not it's a... you know, a sonic palette, or whether it's a, you know, a conceptual palette of what really is going to define that landscape. Are those people too close to the mic?
I think it'll be good
all
for
right,
it.
Cool. So for me, I will never claim to be some sort of industrial aficionado. I don't want to come and be like, oh, well, here's the history of industrial. The things that I liked about industrial are the things that I will lean into for industrial and what is industrial to me, which is a very subjective concept.
Right.
yeah, you know, there's a great debate. There's a million people who go, those guys aren't even industrial. So,
yes.
Which I don't really care too much about, but it is, that's the thing, you know.
What do you think of yourself as, though? I'm
so less concerned with the defining genre of what we're doing as much as the fact that I just want to make sure I like what I'm doing. Like, it's something that I'd want to listen to. And whether or not people oftentimes will say, oh, what they're doing is very derivative. And to me, it's like, essentially, all music is derivative. All human behavior is essentially derivative.
And I mean, it's so true.
If you want to make pancakes from scratch, you better help and create a universe, which I don't think anyone is really apt for doing these days. And, you know, technology does open up new avenues for sort of pioneering new soundscapes and stuff like that. And we do. We like to incorporate as much new technology and more, as much like, you know, weird signature sound with using a lot of modular synth stuff and sort of dense layering and stuff like that. But, you know, for me, the thing that I find alluring about industrial is that it's an experimental landscape. You know, metal has a lot of gatekeepers that will say, oh, well, unless it has like a Cookie Monster vocal and a blast beat, it's not metal. I don't really have much interest in being like pigeonholed or painted in these corners of what is metal. So for me, industrial is gives me a little bit of freedom. So I embrace that genre as a piece of freedom. Is a piece of experimental freedom is more than I do than like saying like, cool, here's like my, you know, knowledge or my sort of like, you know, sacred reverence for what the genre truly is. You know, like I'm not a purist. I'm not one of those people who say, oh, like, you know, like it has to sound like this. To me, I just want to do weirdish and not necessarily have to color in the lines. And that's really it.
Well, it's interesting because hearing you talk, it reminds me, oddly enough, of the way I've interviewed some black metal people, and they kind of have some of them are also.
Well, I think black metal has a tremendous amount of gatekeeping in it.
Yeah,
there's a large amount of elitist sort of, you know, mindsets that sort of really constrict that genre. And then, of course, there's bands that break outside of that, a band like Death Heaven, which I think that, like, those guys are awesome. I think there's a lot of people who would, like, you know, dish talk it. You know, based on, oh, it's not true cult, it's not this. And it's like, I love what they do. I think it's awesome. And I really like those guys. George is the homie. Like, those guys are awesome. And I think that music needs that freedom to sort of explore itself. And artists need the room to explore themselves. And I think the genres in and of themselves sort of psychically bind people into not being able to do what they might want to be able to doing. You know, I think metal, in fact, is very much so in particular a genre of music that constricts itself, that limits itself in what the growth could be. I don't think hip-hop does. I think hip-hop is very experimental, and I think they, you know, I'm sure there's some old dudes who are like, oh, mumble and rap is not rap, but like, whatever. It's like,
yeah, I was gonna ask you about your collaboration with Horror, because like those guys I find to be very kind of creative in all of the worlds they kind of touch, whether it be kind of punk, hip hop, or if you want to call it like
if you
metal.
Grew up in the 90s and you grew up on like, you know, a large array of cool music, then like that's what you're gonna want to make. You're gonna be like, you're not gonna be like, oh, I just want to stay in this lane, and we're like four guys with like guitars and drums, and we have like, you know, amps, and we're just gonna make our band sound like a band. It's like, let's just like experiment. We live in this sort of, you know, multimedia generation that grew up on half the time iPods that had like, you know, a whole sort of array of music in it. You see these iPod lineups at festivals that have nothing to do with each other, and I think that, you know, we're approaching this sort of genre fluidity that, you know, whether or not it's a good thing, it's just a thing. It's just like that's where you're going to see new territory and new flesh become explored with it. And I think that metal as a music really needs it in order to survive. Because it's like you can only go through the magazines and say like, oh, cool. Like, you know, Slayer's headlining today, which is awesome. I grew up on Slayer. I love Slayer.
Yeah.
But like, where do we go from here? Who's the next headliner? What's next? You know, is it a band that just sounds like Slayer? Is it something new? Like, what do we have? You know, so.
Yeah, I mean, there is a lot of, I find that metal more than other genres tends to look back way more than it does look forward.
It does. It's very reflexive in that respect, which is cool because I think everyone looks back to like the 90s as a golden era, and we all romanticize and reminisce about what metal used to be as, like, you know, this sort of like, for a moment we were the biggest music in the world, and now, you know, all those people are sort of like bitter gatekeepers that unfortunately, I think that they hamper a lot of what could be really interesting and cool new growth in the genre sometimes. Mm-hmm.
Do you see Three Teeth as more of an art project than a metal band?
I always said I wanted to build an art project on the chassis of a band, because I think a band is a good chassis and a good engine to create any art project. And for me, like, the whole thing was very much so almost a mistake. It was like we just created something and said, hey, we should write an album that we wanted to hear. Because for the type of industrial that we like, no one was really making it at that time. And, you know, there was only so many back catalog albums that I could listen to. So for us, it was more of like for us. And the fact that anyone else liked it was sort of a bonus. And it you know, if someone told me, like, hey, you guys are going to go tour with, like, Tool and Rammstein Ministry, like, I would just laugh in their face. That was never the expectation. That was never the goal. So a lot of that is, in many ways, a weird, serendipitous, haphazard blessing that I forever will go, wow, I will always appreciate that and feel very fortunate. And if it disappeared tomorrow, I'd still be very happy with where we took it, you know, because the goal of me taking it further from here sometimes is like, I don't know. Who knows?
Well, you're done here at Heavy today. What's kind of in the works for the rest of the year for Three Teeth? What do you guys have?
We just dropped a record, like, not even a month ago.
So good, yeah. So good.
And we've been on the road since it came out, so it feels like it came out like 10 years ago. You know, touring somehow expands and condenses time simultaneously. So yeah, no, it's awesome, and the record seems to, you know, be mostly well received. Occasionally, we get, you know, one of those reviews that's like, you'll get like a 1 out of 10. And I was like, man, I'm so glad we have like either 10 out of 10s or 1 out of 10s.
It's very polarizing.
I don't want anything in between. Like, to me, like, my biggest fear is just being like, you know,
mundane.
The iced tea of music. And I don't mean iced tea music. Like, I just mean the beverage. Yeah. Like, there's like iced tea. It's just like, you taste it and you go, cool, everyone can drink an iced tea. Like, I don't want to do that. I want something that's going to like burn your fucking mouth and go like, man, I really enjoy that. Or I don't ever want to hear that again. So. To me, I'm cool with that. I'm happy with the response of the record so far. You know, I've never actually given a bit of shit about record sales, but it's our first time because it's our first major label release, and they will make you know how your record sales are, and it's doing great. So for me, it's like, you know, that's exciting. I'm cool with that. You know?
Well, cool. Well, thanks for taking the time to sit down with me, man. And hopefully you get a chance to spend some time in Montreal.
No, I've actually spent a lot of time in Montreal. Right. I grew up in Boston, and I dated a girl from Montreal mostly through high school, and I used to drive up here all the time. I got my first tattoo up in Montreal. I did some of my first drugs in Montreal. I remember going to Club Super Sex on St. Catherine Street when I was about 18 years old.
Really,
it blew my fucking mind. Yeah, I have a lot of history in Montreal. It's actually a really special city, so it's nice to be here.
What's your favorite poutine place?
I don't have a favorite poutine place.
But
poutine, everyone's like, why doesn't poutine exist in the States? And you go, because everyone would die of diabetes and obesity.
Well, thanks for taking the time to chat with me, man.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for having me.
No problem.
I really appreciate it.